So you can see the need for conflict in personal relationships, in organizations, nations, between nations and nations, religions, and even within religions. Any human structure, sooner or later, they will be in conflict. There's these relationships every few days, most relationships. You seem to be forced to act out that kind of conditioned script where you are in conflict with each other. And problems. The little self says, the egoic self says, I want to be free of problems. But problems are part of its sense of identity. It's looking for the next one. And we all know people who, you say, who would they be without their problems? It's easier to see it in others. All that is the structure of the self that needs its enemies to continue to feel. It's a very favorite way of enhancing your sense of self through enemies, is to argue and feel the enormous momentum behind being right in an argument. If making the other person wrong, if you can make the other person wrong, you can strengthen your sense of self. Of course, you don't know that you have really only strengthened the illusion, but for a moment, it feels good. Not really, but the ego says it feels good. The body knows that it doesn't feel good at all. But the ego says, I've shown him that I'm right. And for the moment, you have added that big rightness to the sense of self, and it grows. And then after a little while, it wears off. And then you need somebody else to make wrong. And you might even be looking. It's, of course, unconscious. And then you start discussing a spiritual matter, and you say, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you. Or you say something and somebody doubts your point of view. Now, what your point of view is a mental position, a thought. This is how it is. And somebody else says, that's not how it is at all. But you have a mental sense of self. You have identified with the thought. Identified means your sense of self is in that thought. It's a me. Yourself is in the thought. One could say, I sometimes use the expression, you have reincarnated into the thought form for a moment. Reincarnated means yourself is in it. It's one with your sense of self. So when somebody says, no, you're completely wrong, it is an attack on your very life. This is illusion, because your identity is in the thought. And so there's an enormous amount of emotional, the defensiveness that comes, or the aggression that comes when you defend your mental position. It, in very unconscious people, it can easily degenerate into violence. And then violence, in many cases, that is the root of violence, making the other wrong, even a nation, collectively the same mindset operates, making the other nation wrong. Okay, let's prove that they are wrong, we'll attack them, and then we are right. And the more enemies we have, the more we feel our sense of self. So it operates, whether on a personal or collective level, that delusion that through fighting and opposition you can strengthen the self, the me. And so it's always looking out. It's not really, the egoic self isn't really looking for peace. It says that. It cannot show you openly that it's looking for trouble. If it weren't, human history would not be the way it is. The world situation would not be the way it is. The madness of it, and I always say, if you doubt it, read 20th century or any other century, but the 20th century is the most mad. Or watch TV tonight, if you doubt the madness. What is this? And so it is built in, this need for enemies, for problems and conflict. Everybody carries that in here and is forced to act it out to strengthen the illusion of me. And it always works for a little while. So all these things operate, the adding and the needing opposition, needing an enemy, works. Those two work very strongly. So you're always looking for the next thing. And so, what is humankind to do if humankind is trapped in this collective conditioning of the mind? Are we ever going to find the sanity? Are we ever going to find who we are beyond that delusion? And there's nothing wrong with a form identity, but if your sense of self is completely in it, it becomes dysfunctional. Form identity is an aspect of who you are, the form aspect. Function, social function, all those things I mentioned. Beautiful. But if your self is in it, if that you derive your sense of self from that and have nothing deeper than that, it's always a cause of problems and suffering. It's beautiful being a mother, but if you only know yourself as that role, you will be clinging, and you'll be clinging to that form. If you don't know yourself beyond form, there's always a dysfunction that comes in. So how do you know yourself beyond form? This is the question that's been asked forever since this spiritual search started, because it is a spiritual question. It is the ultimate spiritual question. Who am I? Am I more than this? And of course, you could add answers on the mind level by adding beliefs. They are a little bit comforting. How do I know that I am more? How do I know that? How do I step out of this continuous stream of thinking, a lot of which is to do with self? That's why it never stops. It's so compulsive, because I need to keep myself going. There's mind streams after mind streams, many concerned with future and the next moment. How do I step out of thousands and thousands of years of collective conditioning? Now, if you look at the characteristic of the mind-made self, one of them is the need for enemies. And that you can now see there is one form of enemy to the mind-made self that is almost constant but is always overlooked. And that is the mind-made egoic self. What its main enemy, it has many, it needs them, but its main enemy that it continuously fights and ignores, opposes, resists, is actually the present moment, the now. It doesn't want this. It never wants the now. There's always an unease with the now. There's always sometimes more than unease, because I'm looking, I'm on my way to the future that is going to fulfill me. The now is a stepping stone. It enables me to get to the mental projection of future where I'm going to complete myself. So please don't hold me up now. I have no time for now. I have something much more important on my mind, and that is myself as this future projection where I'm going to make it. That could also be a spiritual thing. It could be a spiritual mental image of a future state to be achieved as a strong mental projection, and you're just trying to get away from this because you need to get there. Full liberation, attainment, realization can have an enormous pull towards future. And you don't realize you are trapped in the same mindset that the BMW person is trapped in. It's become a pull towards future and trying to make it. And so I've met many spiritual seekers who have become unhappy after 30 years of search, 40 years of search, 50 years of search. When am I going to arrive? Really, have you ever looked at now? Have you ever looked at the only thing that never leaves you, the only thing that is ever real, the only thing where anything can ever happen, be said, thought, experienced, it's got to be now. Life is always this moment. But the mind-made egoic self is striving towards the next one for its completion. It's looking for itself there. It doesn't know that it is already here. If you could only acknowledge fully and deeply this here and this now, if you could go deeply into this now, you would find that yourself, beyond a mental story, is already totally complete. And only on the level of form could you add things, and that's beautiful. Never to find yourself. You can learn new things, it's beautiful. Explore new countries, beautiful. More of this, even have more possessions. But you can't find yourself through that. If you try to look for yourself through more, even spiritual experiences, they are nice too. But if you're looking for yourself, that never works. So adding more is beautiful, except you can't find yourself through more. More works on the phenomenal level. And when you realize that, you give up. You recognize, first of all, the egoic need to make the now into an enemy and to run away from it, to make it into a means to an end, to resist it internally, to criticize it, to project yourself away from it. I'm not interested in this because this is a limitation on who I am, who I want to be. I'm on my way to the future. Everybody in the big cities of the world, they are all almost out of breath. And if you stopped any one of them, they would give you a reason why they are out of breath, and because I need to get there. But the common denominator is they're all trying to get to the future. And the whole life is spent like that. And the spiritual aspirant, metaphorically speaking, maybe he's not running around, but there could be this same inner urge for future inside, so the breathlessness would become a metaphor. When am I going to be myself? Have you looked deeply into now, the only thing that never leaves you, all there ever is, your entire life here in this space of now? Don't talk to me about now. I don't want this. This is a limitation. I don't want the place where I live. You mean this is not what I want. I don't want to have these, the place where I live, the place where I work, all these are limitations on my life. I want to the limitless. I want to find myself as that which is beyond limitation. That's why I'm trying to get away from the now. But has it worked? How many years have we been trying to get away from it? Well, about 55, 60. And have you gotten away from the limitations of now? Not yet, but I have some more time left. And you see the fallacy of that, and then you suddenly pay a little bit more attention to now. First you see the pull away from it, and you notice that. And then your attention moves into just this. Now, just this often is not, sometimes it's beautiful, but more often than not, okay, it's not that interesting. I mean, why should I linger here? And at other times, it's not only not interesting, it's actually, this is not where I want to be. This not this now, because this now is a limitation on my life. I'm trying to get out of this. Okay, but you can't. So you look more deeply, and then something opens up within you. You pay attention to this moment. And then comes the realization, all you ever have is now, the one thing that is permanent in your life. Now, to the mind, it hardly makes sense to say that. What does that mean, it's always now? The mind says, no, it's not always now. There are so many different moments in my life. They're all different. It's not the case. The form that this now takes changes continuously. Forms appear in this field of now. And because people know only the form that appears in the now, they believe that there are many different nows every day and every hour, one moment after another moment and another. But of course, it is always the one eternal, timeless, one moment. Only the form in which it appears changes continuously. Now, the very form in which it appears, this is the reason why many people don't want the now. Because it's not satisfying enough. It doesn't add enough to me. It might even threaten my sense of self, the form that this moment takes. And in any case, it's not fulfilling enough. It might even be a limitation on me. I want expansion, and here I am in this little prison cell in certain extreme cases, where the now is seen as very, very limiting. Or your body, your physical body, may be ill, can't move very well anymore, so that becomes very, the now, the form that this now takes can, in some cases, be extremely limiting. And you are asking me, a person might say, to not to try and get away from it? Yes, because that didn't work, why not try something else? Why not try to live in alignment, inner alignment, with the form that this now takes. In other words, to embrace the now internally, no matter in what form it comes. To say yes to now, which after all is life. It is inseparable from now. Life is always now, never not now. And so you say yes to life by saying yes to this moment, and whatever form this moment takes, you say, how can I argue with it? It already is. It is. It is the isness of this moment. Of course I can change it, I can take action now. If I'm stuck in a, I'm locked in a building, I've lost the key, this is the now. Of course then I can get up and shout out of the window and say, can somebody please open the door? But if nobody hears, maybe somebody will come, but at this moment, this is this now. Now you can internally argue with it and resist it, or you can say, that is the isness of this moment. That is the suchness of now, the form it takes. And you see the futility and even madness of arguing with is. Because whatever is already the case. So the shift in consciousness happens the moment you say yes to what is. Because the entire structure of the egoic mind-made self lives on resistance and opposition and on making the now into an enemy. It lives through that. That keeps it going. So the beauty of it is we can step out of thousands of years of collective conditioning, not through needing more time to step out of it. And this message cannot yet be heard by everybody. There are still many people on the planet, before they are ready to listen to this, they need more time. But since you are sitting here, I assume that something in you hears the message that to find yourself, and we will look more deeply now, see what does it mean now? To find yourself, you don't need future. For everything else, it's helpful on the practical realm. It works quite well. Now, when you say yes to whatever form this moment takes, what happens? Here comes the form of that this now takes. You say, all right, I welcome this because it is. The form that this now takes, usually something in you, which is the egoic structures, would have resisted it as limiting, not enough, it's not what completes me. And through resisting this form in a situation, an event, a person, a human being, it can only appear in the field of now. Through resisting it, any form that appears, you strengthen your own form identity. There's a contraction in your form identity when you resist a form that appears in the now. And that contraction is the strengthening of the illusory self. And so it likes that. It has a strong momentum because it survives in and through that resistance. When you relinquish the resistance because you've seen through the futility and madness of living in that way, and you embrace the now, there's the form that the now takes, and you bring a yes to that. And suddenly, what I say now is only a little metaphor or a pointer. There is a sense of space around what is happening in the now. There's a larger spaciousness, inner, perhaps even outer, a space around the form of now, which could be a human being, a situation, something has gone wrong, which happens a lot. The mind would call it wrong because it's against what should be happening. This shouldn't be happening now. Here it is. Yeah, but it shouldn't. But here it is. Oh, okay. You become aligned with that isness, and that is suddenly, oh. There's a spaciousness around the form of now. It happens within a field of, yes, peace around it. It is not something that you can easily capture in words or thoughts, because it is formless. Through that act of what ultimately we could call surrender, entering the surrendered state of consciousness, surrender to God, that's a little bit abstract. Who knows what God wants? How do I surrender to God? Surrender to whatever form this now takes, because the totality has brought this about. It is intrinsically linked with the totality of the cosmos. Everything is totally interconnected. So the form that this now takes could not be otherwise. The whole universe has brought this about as form. And there's a little me in the head that is, has an argument with it and strengthens itself through that argument. That is suffering. That is the cause of human suffering. That is not knowing yourself beyond this little form. So suddenly there is a depth of spaciousness that is there when you surrender to what is completely. An uncompromising yes. That is surrender to God. And in that, the egoic structures that live on resistance and on denial of now subside. And there's a depth to your being suddenly, and a peace that is there no matter what form this now takes. Because quite often, as we pointed out, it is a limitation. It appears as a limitation on your life. Not don't want that, but it's here. So the limitation, now people sometimes spend a whole lifetime running away externally and internally from limitations. And of course, I'm not saying don't change a situation if change is possible. But if you would find, whatever situation you get into, you encounter new limitations, and you are going to find that. Yes, you can improve your life situation, but even if you improve it, some other limitations will appear. I gave the example in the talk yesterday, an unemployed actress working as a waitress, being in resistance to that, or being in surrender to that seeming limitation. Through being in the surrendered state, in my little story that I gave to explain that, in the surrendered state, she honored the now, each customer in the restaurant, instead of saying, here I am, I'm a brilliant actress, and what has life given me? A waitressing job. And then the now you can't honor, because the now is so limiting and unpleasant, you would be fighting it internally, continuously, and every customer would make him or her feel that you don't like this now, and you are part of it. And then if she enters the state of, all right, this, not a mental concept, I might as well accept that I'm a waitress, that is a further conceptualized sense of self, strengthening that, of course you're not a waitress, it's a temporary function. You're nothing permanently, it's all a temporary function. So don't derive an identity, an unpleasant, not enough identity from saying, I'm a waitress, this is what life has given me. Simply accept, not that you are a waitress, it's a delusion, accept this moment. And there you are, there's the customer. And you say, can I help you? You're honoring and saying yes to now. With that comes in a totally different energy into the interaction. And the customer senses that he or she is being honored. You honor the now, and any form that comes into the now that goes with it, without saying, if you honor the now, whatever form this takes is honored. And so, I gave a little humorous example that after serving many people in that way, she meets a director who gives her a card and call me up, my name is Steven Spielberg. And so the shift came in. 3 years later, she's a famous actress, world famous, and is her life now free of limitation? No. She can't walk alone in the street anymore. Everybody wants something. Totally restricted her freedom of movement. What does she do there? To see that before long, some form of limitation will recur in your life in the now. And you surrender to that. You can change the situation, but knowing the limitless is not to be encountered in the world of form, because form means limitation. So you say yes to the now, even if it is a form of limitation, seemingly. You surrender to that. Yes. And suddenly, around the seeming limitation, there is spaciousness. At certain depths, what really is arising here, although we need to be careful with words, all forms, thought forms, physical forms are conditioned. It's the conditioning. Conditioned consciousness, consciousness appearing as a form, consciousness appearing as a thought form, consciousness appearing in many, many forms. But there is, the appearance arises out of a vast realm of the unconditioned consciousness before it takes form. And that is within every human being, that dimension is there, one could say, underneath the conditioned, which is all thought forms and emotional forms. There's the depths of the unconditioned, which could be, can be felt, cannot be known as such as you know an object in consciousness. People look for God or themselves, believing that at some point in the future, of course, they are going to find God or themselves as an object in consciousness, as a knowledge in a subject-object relationship, as if they could know it in the way that you can know a tree, but you can't, because the unconditioned is not an object. It is the ground out of which all mind objects, objects in consciousness arise, into which they subside. So you can never know yourself in the normal sense of the word, but you can be that. And that is felt, one could say, it is a realm of stillness underneath the mental noise. And every word will reduce it. It is far more than that. Every word is no more than a little pointer. A realm of aware presence that is beyond thought. Thought can happen, come out of it, but in itself, it is consciousness, one could say, without thought, unconditioned. Oh, that is the deepest meaning of now. Because the strange thing about now is that it never leaves you and it doesn't change the field of now. Because it is, the essence of now is, it is the unconditioned consciousness, the field in which all phenomena happen. And now the beauty here is to know that, one could say, you know the now beyond the form it takes, but you don't know it in a subject-object relationship. You know this field of now, when you surrender to the form, you know that which is beyond form. That's surrender to the form, the limitation, and then there's that emerges that is beyond form and beyond limitation as yourself. And this goes against how everybody lives in this world, they do not surrender to the limitation of this form. They think they want to get away from it. Surrender to the form of now takes you into the depths of the now itself, which you then know as the essence of your being. But don't know anything about it, a direct, unitive knowing as yourself. I would go so far as to say that you are the now, totally one with it. It never leaves you. You can't leave yourself. The essence, the unconditioned dimension of who you are. And when you know that, you can allow the conditioned and the form to be, and it's beautiful. The form as which you appear, because you don't need it anymore to derive a sense of self from it. Then the forms are beautiful also. You honor them really for the first time when you know yourself to be beyond the form. You honor all the forms completely also. So to surrender to the limitation, the seeming limitation, this is the essential truth. The ultimate truth of all religions is the surrendered state of consciousness. There's even one religion that's called surrender, Islam. But it is the essence of all religion. In Christianity, that essence is contained in the image of the cross. Jesus on the cross is all of humanity. The cross is the ultimate symbol of extreme limitation. Couldn't be more limited than to be nailed to a cross. It's a torture instrument. So in a way, for a while, humans experience the world, which is the world of form, almost as a torture. It's so heavy. And then that can take a time until suddenly they can hear the message of surrender. And then at that moment, as symbolized by that image of Jesus, surrender happens on the cross, total surrender to extreme limitation and the seemingly unacceptable. Not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will is the will of the one. And then my and thy merge in the act of surrender. There's no longer my that opposes thy. When my and thy merge, there is total surrender. Your will is one with the totality. And at that moment, the cross becomes a symbol for the divine. The very limitation turns into the symbol for God or the divine. So it's not by resisting or running away from, but by that deep act of surrender that the divine is realized. And that, amazingly, does not take time. Surrender can only be now. It may take time to dwell in the surrendered state as your permanent state. You fall back into resistance because the momentum of the collective conditioning is so strong. And then you re-enter surrender. But the moment of surrender is always now, because you surrender to the now and in the now. So it can only be now. So that one decisive act or spiritual practice is the one that doesn't take time. And that's the beauty of it. It really means you don't need future to find yourself. And you need to add nothing to you to find yourself. Nothing. Then you can play with the realm of phenomena and add things It's beautiful. It's a play. But you no longer need it for yourself. That's the essence of spiritual realization. All the teachings point to it. That is to see that. What grace to see that the very thing that looked so heavy, which is the world of form, the very thing that seemed to be limiting me on all sides, that very thing is the doorway into the formless and into who I am beyond form. And you see that ultimately they are one. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. They are one. And that is the message of eternal salvation, the most sublime message for humankind. Nothing else is needed but that. Thank you.